In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the garden, our Lord prayed, "If it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Our Lord already knew the answer, for he just told his disciples, "The Son of Man will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And on the third day he will rise again. There is no other way, for without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. There is no other way, for without the death of God, fallen man cannot be saved." The scriptures must be fulfilled. The seed of the woman must crush the serpent's head. Abel's blood must give way to the saving blood of our brother. Samson's strength must give way to the strength of God. David's five stones must give way to the five holy wounds of his divine Son. And that sacrifice, the daily sacrifice in the temple, must give way to the flesh and blood of God. There is no other way. The scriptures must be fulfilled. So Jesus did not stop Judas's lips or the hands of the guards. He did not restrict Caiaphas or Pilate's power. But he emptied himself of all power and glory so he might become the scapegoat and you set free. The disciples understood none of this. It was hidden from them. Jesus told them plainly so they would know why he came to this earth. He told them clearly so they would not think that somehow in the garden he was ambushed or taken by surprise. Perhaps the disciples thought Jesus was just speaking in parables again. God must give sight. God must fix the gaze on Christ and on him alone. God must open the eyes to see the scriptures as leading to Calvary and only to Calvary. For if God does not give sight, man sits in darkness, blind to the ways of God, confused and lost. So Jesus performed this miracle to show what he must do in all people. He must open their eyes, for all are born blind. They do not know the brightness of the eternal light, but they suffer the darkness of their own condemnation. They do not understand the ways of God. The death of God makes no sense, and the scriptures remain a confusing book as you have thousands of interpretations of the same book because they do not see the glory of Christ on Calvary. But the Redeemer gives sight so that man might see the glory that is found on that holy hill. So he who does not know Christ does not see, but is blind. He who knows Christ has been given sight. That is, he has faith. And faith cries out to Jesus for mercy. It sees how weak and helpless we are apart from Christ, and if Christ does not stop and help us, we will be lost to the darkness of eternal damnation. So faith constantly cries out to Jesus all the more. It will not stop. It will not be silent. But the more adversity it faces, the more it cries out, for who else can help but Christ? As the crowds tried to prevent the blind man from calling out to Christ, so also you face many obstacles in prayer, the greatest of which is your own sinful flesh. It's quick to remind you of what you are. It whispers in your ear, "Are you really worthy to pray to God when you have so often spurned his love? Will you really pray to God now when you have ignored him so often?" It seems the more we pray, the more we recall our sins, and the more we're tempted to be silent. It seems the more we ask for something, the more we realize we don't deserve it. "Lord, have mercy on us," we cry. But is this not a confession that we have nothing and deserve nothing good from him? He alone gives. And that little voice inside of us tempts us that this is all our fault. Our lives are like this because of our own mistakes, and so we must be the ones to dig ourselves out of it. It is true, we deserve nothing. But do not listen to your heart. For if you look at yourself, you will never pray, for sin fills all that you do. If you wait until you feel ready to pray, you will never pray. If you wait until you have something more to say, you will never pray. If you wait until the proper time and place, you will never pray. For the more that you put it off, the easier it is to put it off, and the more silent we become. The blind man answered the crowd's rebuke by crying out to Christ all the more. He refused to look at himself, but his gaze was set solely on Christ. Same for you. Pray right then and there, regardless of how you feel, regardless of what you have done, regardless of the time and place, pray. We easily fail in our prayers because we're stuck gazing at ourselves. Turn your gaze back toward Christ. Don't focus on what you have to say. Rather, focus on what he has said to you. Pray not because you have something to say. Rather, pray because he has promised that when you call upon him, he will deliver you. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Ask, and it will be given to you, and your joy will be complete. Day and night, cry out to the Lord because he is waiting to hear your prayers. Pray because of who he is. Pray because the Lord will answer your every prayer. We're self-conscious about it. We care what other people think, what we look like. We grow lazy and apathetic and tired and bored. So the greatest enemy to our prayers is ourselves. Stop looking at yourself and cry out all the more as this blind man did. The more unworthy you feel, the more you just don't want to do it, the more courageously pray until it has overcome each temptation and broken upon the sacred ears of our Lord. And then Jesus stops and asks you, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see." The blind man sat in darkness. He knew only Christ could give life or light, and he did. He restored his sight. Then the blind man joyfully follows Christ as he heads toward Jerusalem. Christ goes to his cross to suffer and die, and the man rejoices over that. What the disciples failed to see, this blind man saw clearly. That it was necessary for the Christ to suffer, to die, and to rise again. He saw the glory of God on Calvary's hill. Jesus knows all things. He knew the cross was the only way, yet still he prayed in Gethsemane. He knew what this blind man wanted, still he asked him. He knows what you need, even before you ask, and yet still he urges you to pray. Why? So you recognize all gifts come from him. So you recognize that your food and your clothes, your house and your home, your money and your goods, your land and your animals, your house and your car and your TV and your family and your friends, yes, even your paycheck, that it's all a gift from him. You deserve none of it. You have earned none of it. It's all a gift from him. And he sends trials and adversities in your life to drop you to your knees so you cry out all the more to him. So you are left helpless and have only one place to turn. So may we realize that God alone is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And so may we receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. And when he removes the darkness of your self-centered hearts, you see not only the gifts God gives, but you see Jesus himself. The disciples did not understand this. They're stuck on the gifts of God. They do not understand his purpose. But the blind man understood clearly. By grace, so do you. So with the blind man, you follow Christ to his cross joyfully. The cup was not removed from his lips, but he drank it fully. He emptied the wrath of God and left your sins in the grave. By his blood, you have been set free. The scriptures have been fulfilled. Christ is the Savior. You have been given faith to believe this. And through faith, you will receive far more than you can even possibly ask for or imagine. The blind man asked for sight, and the Lord gave him faith. You ask for happiness, and he gives you joy beyond all angels. You ask for strength, and he strengthens you against the devil. You ask for financial security, and he gives you the riches of heaven. You ask for peace in your life, and he gives you eternal peace with the Father. You ask for health, and he makes you perfect. You ask for a long and prosperous life, and he gives you immortality. For the scriptures have been fulfilled. The Christ has suffered for you. He has died for you. He has risen for you. Blessed are you who see this and believe it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.